Namanda, vutsu namanda, vutsu namanda, vutsu namanda, vutsu namanda, vutsu namanda. I'll begin this morning by reading a verse from the Jusege that we just chanted here. This is one of the verses that expresses the Buddha's wish to that his enlightenment will be a source of strength and liberation for all beings. Jusege no o kotoba o itadakimasu ので gassho o onegaishimasu. Gao Muryoko Fui Dai Seshu Fusai Shobingu Se Fujosho Gaku. I will be the great provider throughout innumerable kalpas. Should I fail to save all in need, I would never attain enlightenment. Nama. Morning, everyone. Minasan, ohayou gozaimasu. Wonderful to see you all here this morning. This morning we'll be talking more about the life of the Buddha. Last week we had a very special service here at the temple. It was Bodhi Day, that's right. That's right, we had Bodhi Day service last week. Can anyone tell me what Bodhi Day was, Yoma? What was Bodhi Day about? We did Mochitsuki yesterday. That's true, yes. Cameron, do you know what Bodhi Day is about?
When the Buddha got enlightened.
That's right, when the Buddha got enlightened. And where was he sitting when he got enlightened? Yes, do you remember, Phoebe?
Under the Bodhi tree.
Under the Bodhi tree, that's right. So after he became enlightened under the Bodhi tree, he sat there for quite some time, just enjoying his enlightenment. He didn't have any more worries, nothing more to be afraid of, to be concerned about. He just sat and enjoyed his enlightenment. But then, eventually, he thought, maybe I'll just sit here and enjoy myself. But it said that Brahma, one of the important, kind of very powerful beings in Buddhism, came down and said, why don't you share this teaching? Why don't you share this teaching? And so the Buddha then set out to share his teaching. And he thought about, who should I share this teaching with? He had a few different ideas, but in the end, he wound up going to share it with his longtime friends, a group of five other people who had been practicing and doing difficult practices with him. Remember, we talked last week about how hard he worked to become enlightened? And can you remember some of the things that the Buddha did in order to try to become enlightened? How about his eating? What was he eating? Yeah, do you remember, Finley? That's right. Towards the end, he was only eating one grain of rice a day because he thought, maybe if I eat less and less food, then I'll become less and less greedy, right? So he did all these very difficult things trying to overcome his greed, his anger, his ignorance. And in the end, do you remember how he was able to do it in the end? Yeah, do you remember, Finley? What was that? That's right, that's right. That person, her name was Sujata. So he was lying there on the ground. He was totally exhausted, and she gave him some milk kind of mixed with rice. Milk porridge, that's right, and he ate that, and then he regained his strength, and he sat beneath the Bodhi tree, and he became enlightened, right? So he had this understanding, this new wisdom. Does anyone remember the name of that teaching, that thing he came to understood? It was a middle something. A middle something between indulging, just going after what he liked, and also not taking what he needed. Do you remember, Finley? The middle way. That's right, the middle way or the middle path. And so he wanted to now share this new teaching. So he went and he looked for his old friends. And he remembered, I remember where they used to hang out. They used to hang out in a place called the Deer Park. I'll go to this place called the Deer Park, and I bet if I go there, they'll be there. So he went there, and sure enough, there his friends were, because this Deer Park was a very special place. The very special place. It was the first place where the Buddha taught what he had understood. It was the first place he went to teach, but it was a very significant place because it was a refuge. Do you remember last week we talked a little bit about refuges? What a refuge is? Can anyone remember what a refuge is? Yeah, do you remember, Cameron?
A place where people hide.
Okay, it's not just a place to hide, it's a place to go, Finley?
Where you feel safe.
So the Deer Park was a place where people felt safe, and not just people, but animals too. All kinds of animals, all kinds of people, all living beings felt very safe in the Deer Park. Just like when I read this passage from the Jusege that we chant, it says, should I fail to save all in need, I would never attain enlightenment. So that's the kind of place that the Buddha likes, a place where everyone feels safe. And so there's a story about why this Deer Park was a place that was safe for all beings, why it was called the Deer Park. So I want to share this story with you because it tells us about what kind of places the Buddha preferred and what kind of world the Buddha wished to create for everyone. So it's said that many years before the Buddha became enlightened, in fact, many lifetimes before the Buddha became enlightened, he was born as a deer. He was born as a deer, and he lived in a beautiful forest. And it's said he had a very special golden color. He was a beautiful golden deer. And they called him the king of the banyan deer. The king of the banyan deer. And there was another deer who looked very similar to the Buddha. Also a beautiful golden color. That deer was called the king of the branch deer. So there were these two big groups of deer who lived together in a forest. The banyan deer and the branch deer. And the king of the humans, he loved to eat meat. He was a meat eater. Does anybody here like to eat meat? Yeah, like to have some steaks and things like that? You don't like to eat meat?
Not really.
Not really? Okay. So where does meat come from? Where does meat come from? A cow. That's right. Meat might come from a cow. What other animals? Yeah?
A turkey.
A turkey? Turkey? Yeah, Cole? Chickens, that's right. Finley? What's that? Pigs? Pigs? I grew up in a place called Minnesota, and in Minnesota in the fall and into the winter, people like to go hunting.
For pigs?
Well, we don't have wild pigs. We have?
Farm pigs.
We have deer. Deer. So people hunt for deer. And some of my relatives, they go hunting for deer. Okay, so some people think that, well, you know, if you're going to eat meat, think about a deer. It gets to live free for its whole life until it gets caught by a hunter and then gets eaten, right? And so some people like to go hunting. This king loved to hunt. He loved to eat deer. Loved to eat deer. In fact, he liked it so much that he wanted to eat it every single day. Every single day. He wanted fresh deer steaks on his table. And so every day he would go into the village and say, okay, everybody, let's go hunting. So everybody had to drop what they were doing and go to help the king hunt for his deer. So eventually the people started to complain. They said, we have work to do. We're not getting any work done because every day we have to go hunting with the king. How about if we made him a little deer farm? We made him a little deer farm in this forest. So we'll gather up all the deer and we'll chase them. We'll chase them into this one little corner of the forest. So that's what they did. They all surrounded the forest, and they got their sticks and their bows and arrows. They started making lots of noise, and they scared all the deer so that they gathered in one little place. One little place. And then they fenced it off and said, "Your Majesty, now you can have all the deer you want. You can have all the deer you want." And the king, he looked at this collection of deer. He had a big smile on his face. He said, "I'll get to eat all the deer I want. And now I can have it whenever I want. I can come down here and I can pick a deer to eat." But he noticed there were two beautiful deer. One was a beautiful golden color, and so was the other one. He said, "These two golden deer, nobody can eat these, okay? I want you to protect those. Any of these other deer are fair game, but not these golden deer." And so every day, they would go down, his cooks would go down to this little farm where they had deer, and they would take one of the deer. But the deer would run away. Of course, they didn't want to get caught, right? So they would run and they would hide, and they would get so nervous and so excited and so scared that they would bump into each other and they would poke each other with their antlers. And so more and more deer were being injured. And so these two golden deer, they got together. And the wise king of the Banyan deer said, "You know what? This is causing a big problem. We know that each day one of these deer is going to be taken, but so many deer are getting hurt in all of this chaos, all of this hubbub. So I have an idea. How about each day we have a lottery? We have two groups of deer and we'll take turns. One day, one of the deer from my group will go. The next day, one of the deer from your group will go, and we'll just take turns back and forth. We'll have a kind of a lottery, and whoever is chosen for that day, just at random, then they will go, but all the other deer will be able to live in peace and live calmly." And so the king of the branch deer said, "This sounds fair. This sounds fair." And so day by day, one by one, deer would be taken, but all the other deer were able to live in peace because they said, "Well, we just know this is the way it's going to go." But then one day, one of the branch deer, her name was called, and she said, "You know what? I have a baby in my belly. I'm pregnant. So once the baby's born, then there will be two deer. So why don't we let someone else go? Okay, let's let someone else go." And so she went to the king of the branch deer and she said, "Please, please don't make me go. Don't make me go. Why don't you pass my turn to someone else?" The king of the branch deer said, "Nope, the rules are the rules. The rules are the rules. It's your turn. You have to go." And so she was so worried. She said, "Well, no, this isn't good. I want to protect my baby." So she went to the king of the Banyan deer because she knew he was very wise. She said, "Is there anything you can do to help me?" The king of the Banyan deer listened very carefully, and he said, "I think I have an idea. I think I have an idea. You wait here, and I'll go to talk to the cook." And so when the cook came down to get the deer, he said, "Oh, hello, king of the Banyan deer. Thank you for joining us. Who's coming to be the king's meal today?" The king of the Banyan deer said, "Today is my turn." And the cook said, whoa, wait. The king said that, you know, no one can touch you, that you can't be taken for his meal. And so the king of the Banyan deer said, "Yes, but today I have come. Today I am here. Today the turn originally was going to be this mother, this pregnant mother, but I said I would come, so here I am." So then the cook said, I think I better talk to the king, the human king, about this. So he went to the king of the people. King of the people came down and he said, "Are you sure? Are you sure that you're willing to do this?" And the king of the Banyan deer said, Yes, of course. I'm resolved to do this. And the human king said, never have I seen such generosity. Never have I seen someone who was so willing to help others. He had this wonderful benefit, but he wouldn't just keep it for himself. He's willing to put his life on the line for all these other deer. And so the human king says, okay, I understand. From now on, I won't take any of the deer. I won't take any of the deer. And so then the king of the Banyan deer says, yes, that's wonderful. Thank you. But what about the other four-legged animals here in the forest? What about the foxes? What about the rabbits? What about all those other animals? I bet they don't want to be eaten either. So the human king said, okay, I understand. Won't eat any foxes. Won't eat any other four-legged animals. Then the king of the Banyan deer said, but what about the birds? What about the chickens? What about the turkeys? What about them? I bet they don't want to be eaten either. So then the human king said, okay, I understand. We won't touch any of the birds in this forest. He said, what about the fish? There's a nice stream that runs through here. What about the salmon? What about those delicious tuna fish? Tuna fish don't live in streams, do they? Tricked you. No, they're only out in the open ocean. Right? But he said, what about the fish? And the king said, okay, none of the living creatures in this forest will be harmed. This forest will, from now on, this will be a refuge, a place where all the animals can come to be safe. Okay? And then the deer, this Banyan deer, he continued to live happily as a leader for all these animals. It's said that in future lives, then this Banyan deer became the Buddha who sat underneath the Bodhi tree and became enlightened. And just like that Banyan deer who had the wonderful benefit, no one was going to eat him. He was safe. He had no worries. But it wasn't enough just for him to get that benefit. He had to share it with everyone. So he made sure that that whole forest would be a safe refuge. Many, many years later, he returned to that forest with that same mission. He had received this benefit of enlightenment. No more worries at all. And so he wanted to share that first with his companions, but then eventually with everybody in the world. Everybody in the world. And that's the heart of the Buddha. When you receive a wonderful benefit for yourself, don't just keep it. Don't just enjoy it for yourself. But think, how can I share this with everyone? And that's what the Buddha did. We chant the Juseige here very often at our temple, don't we? And Juseige includes these words. I will be the great provider through innumerable kalpas. Does anyone here know what a kalpa is? Anybody know? It's a really, really, really long, long time. So for a really long time, the Buddha is going to be the great provider. And what's he going to provide? Peace of mind. No worries, no fear for all beings. And he says, should I fail to save all in need, I would never attain enlightenment. That's what Amida Buddha, that's the promise Amida Buddha made. And then becoming Amida Buddha, then we all receive this benefit of great peace of mind from the Nembutsu, Namo Amida Butsu. I take refuge in the awakened one of immeasurable light and life. Okay? So Amida Buddha is a Buddha, just like Shakyamuni Buddha. Two different Buddhas, but the same heart. The same heart of wanting to help and liberate everybody. Right? Just like the Buddha. That's right. So when we think about the Buddha, we remember his life and the places where he lived. The Bodhi tree where he became enlightened, and the deer park where he first taught his teachings to share this benefit with everybody all together. 仏様の心というのは自分が幸せになる。それでいい。 というのではなくて、私が幸せをいただければ、すべての生きているものが幸せにならないと、それが満足できないというのは仏様のお心ですね。そのために、みんなのために、身教えを説かれて、そのたくさんの教えの中に、阿弥陀如来のお話、南無阿弥陀仏のお話をしていただいて、私たちの念仏のお救いとなる教えを説かれたということですね。So we'll conclude here. This time I invite you to once again join me in Gassho while we hear these words of the Jusege. Ga o muryo ko, fui dai seshu, fusai shou bingu, seifu joshou gaku. I will be the great provider throughout innumerable kalpas. Should I fail to save all in need, I would never attain enlightenment.
Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.